Hello and welcome. You are listening to the Ecom Sales Tax Podcast. In this podcast, our number one goal is to ease your mind of all the stress that sales tax can bring to you as an e-commerce seller. Our episodes contain the questions that have been posed to us by business owners and other individuals doing business in various states in the U.S., and we will help clear up the confusing, contradicting information you might find online and give you a clear path forward. Hello and welcome to the Ecom Sales Tax Podcast. We've got Dan Peisner and Jason Parr on with us today. Welcome, guys.
Hey, great to be here. Glad to be here, Ryan.
Thank you. Now, recently, we've had some changes to some economic nexus thresholds, one of them being New York. And to me, this is a little significant because they've increased their threshold, but they're also going retroactive. And people have relied, you know, Nexus has been out. I mean, the Wayfair decision was made over a year ago now, and some laws were put forth, and it's only been a year, and laws are now changing. And this can get pretty confusing, so I was hoping you guys could, you know, shed some light on maybe some recent changes, maybe some updates. Let us know what we need to know.
Great. Yeah, there's no doubt that change ever since Wayfair. We like to say Wayfair is a year old now. So what do I do next? How do I comply? How do I figure out how to comply? How do I know who's the responsible party? How do I know what to do, right? Some people's approach is, hey, I'm just going to go register everywhere so that I don't have to deal with any issues. And some people are very reluctant to register. They're worried about historical exposure or liabilities that might creep up on them. And so it's really important to just be able to have a one-on-one conversation. So we really encourage that, and we can go through that. But speaking to changes in the law and how to proceed, it's really interesting. So there's a couple of things that are consistently changing. We would love to have some just stability in the marketplace, right? You tell me what your threshold is. You tell me the effective date. I'll look at my sales. I'll determine when I should register. I'll get registered. I'll collect tax. I'll comply. And so that's one thing. But then, am I responsible for collecting tax? Do I collect the tax, or does a facilitator collect the tax? Does this state have a marketplace facilitator law that stipulates that a marketplace that I sell on has to collect the tax? And they don't collect the tax for every platform or marketplace that I sell on. And so what states have imposed the laws? What platforms have complied with the laws? Who's collecting tax on my behalf? And where do I need to collect tax? Because they're not collecting tax on my behalf. How do I turn it on? What do I do? So simply stated, what's next is the question that everyone asks us. And we help with all of that. We help with platforms, setting up the platforms, where you should register, whether you're responsible for collecting the tax, whether somebody else is responsible, whether that platform has complied and has an effective date where they're actually doing it. And then how do you comply on the form itself? Do you use an automated format, or do you use a hands-on consultative approach with an outfit like ours? It's a real question, because you want to make sure you're not double paying tax, because maybe the marketplace facilitator is collecting the tax and remitting it, and you don't want to remit it on top of what they've remitted. That's just like pulling it out of your own pocket in an audit or something like that. So lots and lots of questions, but the question that's in front of us today is, how do I know how to comply based on the thresholds and the effective dates of those thresholds, if those thresholds and effective dates change over time? Well, the information is available, and we can certainly help you with that. But what we want to do is highlight the fact that states are passing laws that do make changes to the thresholds and do make changes to the effective dates. And so I was hoping Dan could give us just a few examples. New York's the most notable, because a lot of Amazon sellers and other e-commerce sellers have seen a letter or a note from New York and some of the changes that have occurred. But how does that impact you is the real question. So Dan, maybe you could talk a little bit about New York and some of the other states that you're seeing making changes, and just kind of confirm that states will continue to make these changes as they adjust and navigate and identify how the revenues are coming in and how they're doing with these new laws?
Certainly, Jason. First off, I'd like to say that I think that what we're seeing at this point is in the wake of Wayfair, you had a mix of old laws that have been on the books and never enforced starting to go into play, and just departments of revenue trying to get out proclamations and do their own thing. And so now what you're starting to see is the legislatures get involved. Some of these state legislatures are part-time. Some of them are they've had other matters they've been dealing with. And they're starting to take a look at these tax issues, which is why we're seeing these facilitator bills. We've seen a lot of them come out in the last 6 months. And now we're starting to see the economic nexus thresholds get played with. And looking specifically, New York was kind of an interesting story, if you'll remember a while back. They were one that had a law on the books back when Quill was still the law of the land before Wayfair happened that said that there had a threshold of $300,000 in gross sales and 100 transactions. If you met both, you had economic nexus, unenforceable because of Quill. Well, the Wayfair came down and New York said, we're studying it. We will give further guidance. Okay. Everybody was watching for further guidance. Virtually every state was doing this. Nobody was enforcing their existing laws because they were figuring it out and where the case was going to go. So that was in June. Fast forward to December of 18, approximately, they come up with a second notice that says, oh, by the way, this law was when it immediately went into effect at the time of Wayfair. And you guys need to get registered for tax, which sent everybody into a scramble to figure out what's going on. And now what we've seen is that the New York legislature has come out and has changed the thresholds from they've upped the economic threshold from 300,000 to 500,000 in gross receipts, retroactive back to the date of June 21st, 2018, which was the date of Wayfair. So everybody that thought they had nexus at 300,000 now doesn't have nexus unless they are at 500,000. Now, to clarify, if you have been registered, regardless of whether or not you actually had nexus, then you have to collect the tax. But what this means is that if you had not registered and you didn't meet the 500,000 threshold, you're okay. Or if your sales are between 300 and 500,000, you're already registered, then you can look at whether or not it's in your interest to deregister. But it's interesting that they made the change retroactive, but that's really the only threshold, one of the few thresholds that we've seen going up.
Okay, so let's speak to that for just a second. So in New York, the change in the threshold could be a real, I say it's a real benefit, but it can be a real help to e-commerce sellers because they have to exceed a higher threshold for a responsibility to register, collect, and remit tax.
Exactly. I think what we're starting to see in the bigger market states is that they've been raising these thresholds because you keep your thresholds too small. You get a lot of really small market sellers, especially with the 200 transactions threshold, that really you're having to process their returns and go after them for collections. But there's just not a lot of money to be had. And so what the bigger market states are doing to focus their resources is they've been raising those thresholds. Texas okay. has a higher threshold. California changed theirs from 100,000 up to the current. New York has theirs. And while Washington's is still 100,000, they dropped their 200 transactions and went just straight economic threshold. So the biggest markets have been kind of raising their thresholds on that just because.
So that's something else we're seeing, I guess, is in the situation with economic nexus, that's kind of the broad title for it, but it was based on economic thresholds and transactional thresholds. And what mm-hmm. we're seeing several of the states do is drop the transactional threshold because 200 transactions is so minimum depending on the amount of the transaction. So a lot of states are just moving to a point where they're focusing on the financial aspect. The threshold is economic only.
Exactly. And then what a lot of them are realizing is that if they also pass those facilitator laws, then they're still going to get the lion's share of the small dollar transactions because everybody's selling on these facilitators. So they still get the majority of the funds, but without having to process all the returns. So that's the one trend we've seen. Now, on the other hand, within the last couple of months, we've also seen a few states actually drop their thresholds. And those states are Ohio. Ohio was one of the two states that kind of pioneered the idea of cookie nexus back in the days of Wayfair or pre-Wayfair. They said, okay, we'll get you on physical, but our idea of physical presence is that you're even loading JavaScript. The fact that your code is running on somebody's computer in the state of Ohio, that's a physical presence. It was a very, very big stretch, but the thresholds were higher. I think Ohio's was $500,000, and they were imposing that, and they've now dropped that down to effective August 1st, 2019. They've dropped down to $100,000 or 200 transactions. So they've gone with the pure Wayfair standard.
Oh, wow. So, I mean, as soon as 12 days ago, you needed to understand that where you scratched off Ohio because you didn't have 500,000 in the last 12 months, now you need to be thinking about, you easily could have had 100, 200, 300 and not met that threshold. So you might have a new requirement in Ohio to comply. And you said it's or 200 transactions.
Or.
Okay. Wow. So yeah, Ohio is definitely reaching to get more participation. My opinion, Jason Parr's opinion, it's all about revenue, right? I don't think I'm the only one with that opinion. And the threshold in view of the revenue department may have just said that we're not capturing enough revenue at that threshold, so we'll reduce it. But at a minimum, they at least made it forward looking, so to speak, effective essentially when it was written into law, and it's not retroactive looking back multiple months where you may have had a responsibility but didn't even know it because the threshold was different. When you originally said that some states are dropping economic thresholds, I at first thought, wait a minute, they're dropping them all together, but no, you mean they're reducing thresholds from where they were down to another number. So that could adversely affect, I say adversely just in the sense that smaller sellers will have to comply and go through the process. So interesting. Do you have any others you wanted to share with us?
Yes. The other, Ohio's partner in crime in the cookie nexus scandal, Massachusetts. Similarly, they had a very high threshold with their cookie nexus, and they've now gone to a flat $100,000 gross sales threshold effective October 1st, 2019. And kind of seeing a lot of the Quill workarounds start to disappear in favor of a pure Wayfair test. We're seeing notice and reporting start to disappear from a lot of the states. We're seeing cookie nexus and internet nexus. So all these workarounds that had the attorneys rushing to the courthouse in some instances are kind of dropping in favor of this Supreme Court blessed Wayfair standard that's much harder to challenge and can get them more sales or more registered taxpayers. So we've now seen the elimination of cookie nexus for something that at least is going to be a little easier for a lot of those small sellers to understand, because it's what all the other states are doing anyways.
And wow. Then I guess the key to everything that's being shared today is there's not going to be stability for a period of time. You can't just have a list of the traditional thresholds and the effective dates and be satisfied that you're meeting those or not meeting those. It's really important to be up to date on those. We strongly recommend what we call our What's Next program, and it's a process where we focus on nexus and taxability. That's essentially what NEXT stands for. What is my nexus footprint, and are the items I sell taxable? That's what I need to know to understand what my responsibility might be or what potential liabilities or exposure I might have. And from that, I can then determine what recommendations need to be made to move forward to ensure that we mitigate liabilities or dollars out of your own pocket, or recommend registrations and help you comply with the laws as they are today, and then keep you updated on the changes in the laws as we roll forward. So we really encourage everybody to give us a call. We'll walk through what we call a results accelerator call. We want to accelerate results and recommendations to help you comply. and we simply walk through your situation. And it's a one-to-one opportunity to understand what your footprint might be and how to proceed. So we look forward to talking to you soon.
All right, thanks, guys. You know, hearing you guys talk, it just seems like despite the Wayfair decision being a year old, the dust on sales tax will never settle. So you can expect changes to be made all the time. So don't get too comfortable as an e-commerce seller because you never know what's going to happen. And on this channel, we strive to keep you guys updated. Schedule a call today and we'll help you get sorted. All right. Thanks, guys. Hope to see you next week.
Take care. We'll talk to you later.
Take care.
You've reached the end of another episode of the Ecom Sales Tax Podcast. If you have any additional questions about today's episode or you just need some help, you can find my contact information down below. Connect with us at SalesTaxForOnlineSellers.com and don't forget to find us on Facebook. We post new content every week.